tanzen, klönte, grinste, komm. Grinse, klönte, grinste, komm. Grinse, klönte, grinste, komm. Grinse, klönte, grinste, komm.
Okay, welcome to the Transatlantic Rants, episode 4. I'm getting very excited. We're going through these episodes like a hot knife through butter. Are you with us, Jeremy?
Yeah. Hello. Okay,
good. Good. Right, well, I am Fraser, and I am over in wet, miserable, and cold Canada, and I'm joined by Jeremy in hot, boiling, and sunny England.
Yes, we finally had some decent weather, and it's interesting because when it was raining it was miserable and I'm miserable, and it's sunny and still equally miserable. The way that we have to adapt to certain changes in heats in the UK is ridiculous. We don't have any easing in. We just have one or the other. You either have it pissing down with rain, or you have boiling sun, hot trains, long walks to work, misery.
Well, I actually thought you were still having the bad weather. We've got an unbelievable nice summer. It's roasting hot here. I was only joking. It's 35 outside right now. So, there you go. But, right, so we've got a few things to cover this week. I know definitely I wanted to hear you have a chat about the Olympics, as that is drawing close this week. And I wanted to talk about customers. And I had another rant about government spending. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover? Just I know this thing tends to look after itself once we get going, but
I think there's a varied amount of topics. The Olympics could last an hour in itself. Let's okay. Just say that the Olympics has got a lot of mileage in it, and I will not be taking the "isn't it rosy" kind of view that we're all supposed to be brainwashed into thinking at the moment by Visa and all the rest of the little corporations ruining what's a sporting event. We'll come on to that.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. Just before we get started, there are just a couple of things I wanted to say. We're trying to get these episodes out weekly if we can. It's not as easy as we thought it might be, as we're finding out. For those who haven't done the maths, we have a 5-hour time difference between Jeremy and myself, so trying to get a time that suits us both is not easy, but we do what we can. And also, I believe you're on holiday next week.
Yes, finally, I'm getting a break from corporate boredom, and I shall have a possibility of going away somewhere.
Okay, so probably no episode next week, so if you can't find an episode 1 week, don't panic. It'll probably be back the following week, but we do try and get them out, and we'll try and get them out when we can. So do you have a date? Do you have anywhere you're going for your holiday?
No, we're trying to find somewhere at the moment, but trying to find somewhere that accommodates not just one dog, but two dogs and a baby, and hasn't been booked up by our overcrowded country. Is becoming literally impossible. I think I can only guess that literally our overpopulation of old people that are becoming more and more of a burden to us as the years progress have booked everywhere nice 7 years in advance. So there's no chance of finding anywhere because they've taken everything. And I thought that they're all supposed to be leaving and going off because the Olympics is coming, but they're not. They've taken places. There's nothing left. And we're probably going to be in a tent.
Well, I watch, particularly when the Euros were on here, a lot of the broadcasts are direct feeds of the English broadcasts, or I was watching feeds of Sky Sports. Anyway, so I was seeing a lot of English commercials, and I noticed there were a lot of commercials where they were, you know, promoting everyone to holiday in Britain, you know.
Yeah, BA got in on the act. We've actually got an advert, British Airways, and any of you solicitors out there, if you just want to look at on our website and look at the legal little bit for the bit I'm about to go into, because you don't really want us to stay at home because you're literally motivated by profit. So you coming out with your little adverts that you land a plane in London, which probably isn't really that fitting, considering of certain things that have happened, obviously, historically, with planes landing and buildings and such and such. You've done an advert where you actually sort of say, stay at home. Stay at home. It's the best place to be. That's what we've got. And we have this advert running all the time where they keep telling us to stay here. I kind of feel that Orwell's authoritarian state is becoming even more and more subliminally coming into our collective kind of like arena more and more each day. Stay at home, enjoy the Olympics. You will enjoy the Olympics. Stay at home, enjoy the Olympics. There's no getting around it. You will enjoy the Olympics. Come and watch some people running around in a circle. Come and watch some more people running around in an even bigger circle. I mean, the fact that the whole thing is being run by a man that was trained, Seb Coe, that was trained to run in a circle, the irony isn't lost. I think it's the... I'm going to have to go on the rant now. The rant's come, and it's going to be going. The fact that we haven't evolved past from enjoying people running in a straight line. Ooh, he can run faster than another person in a straight line, and that we're all supposed to sort of see this person as some sort of like god figure deity. It's just beyond me that there's the simplicity of our evolution is staggering. This might have entertained people in Greece thousands of years ago when there was nothing else happening, but we kind of have moved on from that. I kind of see it as like an unevolved Boy Scouting event that somehow become enormously global, and that we're all supposed to buy into and find interesting, when simply it's not. Running in a circle, running in a line, running and jumping, running for miles and miles through the city. And people, honestly, it's staggering. Throwing objects. Can you throw an object? What can you throw the furthest? It's just like, Christ, what are we? Are we still knocking, like, dragging our knuckles along the ground, coming out of a cave and finding that stuff amusing? I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I don't get the fact that we're being forced have to enjoy it. It's like, we don't want to watch it. We don't want to watch it. And when we're getting you coming through our towns with your Olympic torch, and we're getting all these flipping sea lion clapping morons, and so it's the most amazing thing. Oh, look, there's no one I've ever met for running through with a torch in their hand. Who gives a shit? Who cares? Who finds that kind of stuff interesting? I don't find that kind of thing interesting. And then I think, am I just an isolated person, just in a little, like, you know, out in the fields, just thinking to myself, who else finds this stuff interesting? And the answer is, a lot of people. A lot of people are turning up, they're flag-waving bullshit like they were with the Queen, to just try and accept all this stuff, and I don't get it, mate. I really don't. It irritates me beyond belief. And the fact, yeah, that every time any of these things happen, we have to have a corporation kind of like blackout. If you're not drinking Coke, something full of sugar, or if you're not carrying a Visa card, or if you're not wearing a Nike t-shirt, or if you're not wearing whatever it is that the corporation bought into, you're not even allowed into the games. You have to have a Visa card. You will be drinking Coke. You will have to wear a certain t-shirt. I don't know if it's Adidas or Nike, which either one of them, who it is, you know. You have to have that product. And little grannies that have their little like five circles that are in their shops and trying to get into the spirit, they've been told to take this stuff down. They've been told that they do not have a license to have the five rings, and therefore they've got to take the stuff down. And then we're told, get into the Olympic spirit, be part of the Olympic spirit by a man taught to run in a circle.
Well, I did read last week that there was a big uproar of the fact that, you know, Heineken is the sponsored beer for the Olympics, and then, you know, there's that. Where's the Britishness? Where's the opportunity for all the British businesses? And, you know, it's putting us on the putting the UK on the world stage. And but who is really being put on the world stage? I mean,
every weakness in our whole setup is being put on the world stage. The fact that our infrastructure and our cars everywhere is going to be gridlocked. The fact that our subway, and they're sort of telling us the best opportunity for you is to walk there. No, it's not. I don't want to walk. You know, I know when I used to be doing that thing at 7:30 in the morning, standing in someone's armpit, that those trains were completely packed. The fact you're going to have thousands of more people coming on there, the trains are going to be even more packed. It seemed to be beyond someone who's getting paid probably an awful lot of money's comprehension. I don't get that part of it, and I also don't get the fact that we all know all of this, and what all our unions that stranglehold this country to death have decided that they're all going to go on strike now. That's the way to show them, isn't it, you union fuckers? That's the way to show that our society is progressing, and that England is the place to be, or Great Britain. It's your method is, hold the country to ransom. I honestly, this is another part that really irritates me about all of this, is that all of us are having to adapt. All of us are going to have to take on board the fact there's going to be more people in the country, and we kind of accept that. But the unions, no, give us more money. No, but we're all facing together. No, give us more money. And if you don't give us more money, we're going to just going to grind everything to a gridlock. And what I don't get is that they use this kind of health and safety. It's such. You, there was no health and safety when I was on the 7:30 from Reading to London, crammed against the door. Why are you striking then? You're not striking at any of those times. You're striking when you can cause maximum damage so you can hold the country to ransom. You scum. And the other thing that really annoys me is these guys are so thick, these union motherfuckers. They've literally left school with nothing and then risen up the ranks because they're worse than me at ranting. And therefore, they get up to these, they get a massive paid job, they get paid by these unions, and they still hold us all to ransom, the people that pay their salaries in the first place. Yeah, man. Bring that as a rant. I think we're going to go on a rant. That's probably about a good 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's a good rant. You're on one of the best ones so far.
There you go, mate. I've calmed down now, but that is what we have to contend with. That is where we're going with this Olympics, is it's been taken over. And so if people do enjoy somebody throwing a stick or someone throwing a big heavy ball, they can't even enjoy it because they're not wearing a Nike t-shirt, they're not drinking a can of sugar-filled Coke because they're diabetic, and they're not wearing a tracksuit with what's not, and they haven't got a Visa card stuck in their pocket because they didn't have Visa. But you have to have Visa. You have to have Visa on that site. You have to pay with Visa.
Okay, so you don't like people running around in a circle. I get that. I don't find it very interesting at all. Like, I'm not hyped for the Olympics. I never get very hyped for the Olympics. I think they should. You know, when are they going to? What could they do that's going to be interesting?
Bill Hicks said probably the funniest thing is he said they keep trying to stop drug taking in the Olympics and sporting events. He said, give them more drugs. They'll be breaking every record. You can get all these different concoctions. You can get your finest scientists bunging them full of drugs, getting them sprinting the 100 metres in 5 seconds flat with their eyeballs bulging out, hanging out on stalks. That would be amusing.
You could have some. What about an alternative Olympics then?
Yeah, the drug takers Olympics. Your Canadian guy, we'll get him. I mean, the fact that no one actually knew at the time that he, when he came running to, what was his name?
Michael. Oh, you've got me now. I was thinking about him the other day because he's advertising over here a sports drink called Cheetah. So he's laughing at himself. But even I can remember. Oh, you're going to get me now because I can't remember his name. But even I can remember, at the time. I mean, back in the time, everyone was just like, you know, wow, it's amazing. Look how quick he's running. But if you go back and look at it now, his face when he was running those record times, you could tell he was out of it.
Ben Johnson.
Allegedly.
Ben Johnson. You could tell that he was on something. He looked as though he just finished the night at a rave in Manchester. Those eyes were so enormous and bloodshot. And it was a little bit when Maradona came running to the screen when he was, you know, he was high on coke. I found that stuff amusing. The fact that most of these sportsmen are some of the dullest people that you'll ever meet in your life. And they are. They're so dedicated to running in circles, and they're so dedicated to finding if they can jump a little centimetre higher over a little like hurdle or whatever it is. If these people are dull, let's just bring in the drugs, get them fully maxed out, belting it down the line, eyes on stalks, doing an interview afterwards at 1,000 miles an hour and talking about all sorts of stuff, or get them on acid and doing long distance running and filming their little adventures as they go off and sit in a little mushroom field together and have a little, you know, that kind of stuff would interest me. Diving on acid. just, it's in fact, you could have it where the various different drugs that they take, the more that they've done, the more, you know, points scored. For like the diving, there just would be this flat drop straight in, belly flop, wouldn't it?
They get extra points if they do extra tabs of acid.
Yeah, or the obese Olympics. Just get people that are really enormous, you know, on their last kind of like legs, chased by wolves around in a circuit, you know, or ravenous tigers.
Well, they should do that. Bring back more of the old Roman style stuff where they're putting them in with lions and tigers and.
Yeah, you know. That could be a way for some people to go out. If you've got some people that are on death row and they're thinking, no, I don't want to have to go in there. And now we read it's the single injection. I want to go out fighting. get some lions, chuck them in there, and have a gladiatorial pit.
Well, wasn't it Bill Hicks as well? And he said, didn't he do a part about people who have terminal illnesses being in action films?
Yes, he did. Again, actually, a comedian called Jimmy Carr said that he was doing a gig for the army, and he said, guys, you know, that at the end of the day, whatever happens, you know, you might get a loser leg or whatever, but at least we'll have a fantastic Paralympic team. And he got absolutely shot down in flames for mentioning that. But the fact is that most of the really good athletes in our Paralympic team are ex-squaddies. I'm not laughing, don't laugh, but they've had limbs lost in the most tragic of circumstances, but they're super fit guys, and they're competing, and you're kind of thinking...
Yeah, okay, and I bet you, though, and I don't know this, but when he did that gag and did it in front of the service guys, I bet the service guys laughed.
I bet they did. And I think, you know, that those kind of guys and the stress that they're under and whatever, they probably have some of the most morbid, sick humour you'll ever find in anybody, because it's a way of dealing with the fact that that might happen or whatever. I think the one thing that I have to say, if I can find some positive stuff, is that the people have really got behind that Paralympic side, and I think that is a nice positive side out of it. But I suppose my major rant is that anything good, like with football or any sporting event, the corporations have just seeped in there and they've just slowly but surely taken over. It's like on football pitches now, where you can just see the banners at the back all going around the pitch, or you watch the cricket and they've just got enormous signs slap bang on the pitch the whole time telling you who's sponsoring, who's doing whatever. Well, money hasn't improved the sport, so why do we need it? Is it because you just want to pay the sportsman more? It's a vicious circle of turd.
Well, I don't know what the answer is. I think the only thing to do is to somehow go back to supporting more grassroots, you know.
Limit it.
Sports and clubs.
America set an enormous precedent, mate. When they did the opening of that games all those years ago, and they had like spaceships and aliens coming in, and a guy with a jetpack, they set the level so high for the entertainment of the opening and the closing of the games that now everybody's tried to achieve that. I was at Sydney just after the games had finished, and it was a ghost town. It was almost as though it was post-apocalyptic kind of like nightmare. There was nothing there. There was no work. It was like a vacuum. Everything had been sucked out of it. And theirs was supposed to be one of the most successful games ever, because it does leave that. It does a short bit-term bit of development, and then it sucks everything out of that. And I think that's the problem that we're facing now, is it's become such a big global event, such a big money sort of like a thing, or countries believing it's going to change everything by having it. That the pressure's always on, and the pressure's to be bigger and better, and it's done it.
Well, I know just one think, of the.
Sorry, mate.
I was going to say. Well, I mean, you know, on that sort of note, one of the future, you know, rants that's just destined to come is, you know, the whole when the for the World Cup being in Qatar.
Oh,
I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, you have a place there; it's got a population of about 100,000 people. It's in the desert, you know, and they have to build enough stadiums. You know, how many stadiums is it going to be? Four, five, six?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
all in air-conditioned stadiums.
Air-conditioned stadiums. I never heard anything so ridiculous in my life. And then what happens when it's over? What a waste of money.
Oh, I know, but they've got money to waste, you see. Rather than them saying, you know what? So what we'll do is we'll give you the World Cup, and you actually take that money and you allow people to be fed in certain countries. Rather than you wasting it, why don't you do that, and then you can have your prestige. You know, no, we want to build all these stadiums, and then they'd just be totally useless and never be used.
No, that one I can't understand it at all. It's just somebody, you know. Somebody got bunged a load of
allegedly.
Money. Allegedly. Possibly, I don't know. But how... I can't even imagine what sane person sits on a board and you know, votes and says...
They're morons, mate. They're morons. You see, this is the other thing. This is the other part of the thing that irritates me. even more than the Olympics, is the fact that you get thick sportsmen being put into positions of power. These people have no concept of what it's like to work out in a corporate environment where you have to be successful with the decisions that you make. So they put these old giffers, these old, old giffers like Pattini and these other stupid dumbnuts, in these positions of like authority where they make these big decisions and they're ruining stuff. We should have had a patent on football. As a British country, we should have said, actually, it's our sport. We're going to license it to you. Not you're going to license to us and tell us when we can have the World Cup. Why did you waste all our money for us to try and like win the World Cup when you actually had on the cards that you wanted to put it out in these remote areas where no one watches it and they basically have women as slaves? That's what they've gone with this. That's where it's gone, man.
Well, I mean, like, you know, the recent Euros being over in Poland and the Ukraine, you know, I could get that. You know what? These are, you know, countries that are big footballing supporting countries. You know, their infrastructure might not have been so great, but, you know, they definitely had passion for the game.
Yeah.
You could see it. South Africa, with the last World Cup in South Africa? Nope. Didn't get that one at all. You know, okay, maybe you're trying to promote South Africa and give it, you know, or you say that you're trying to promote South Africa and give it a nice little boost, you know, or whatever. But I tell you what, those the population around those stadiums couldn't afford to go to the games, and I bet you they can't afford to use the stadiums if they're using the stadiums at all now. I mean, it's just bizarre.
It is, mate. I think that the worrying thing is that the you cannot have commercial decisions and expect people to put multi-million pound bids in, like the UK did and other countries, I think Canada did, and other places as well, and then they just turn around and go, actually, we've always been thinking that we're going to have it in Qatar and we're going to have it somewhere completely remote where no one ever watches it. In fact, in the year 2040, we're thinking of actually having it in the North Pole. What we're going to do is we're going to have everybody dressed up in bear suits and we're going to be running around. Actually, the North Pole might not even be around then, so they probably won't be able to have the North Pole. But it's just these pointless, ridiculous decisions that everyone just sits there and goes, what? How did that happen? How did that happen? And they can't go back on it now because the decision's been made. There's no, oh, actually, it was a stupid thing.
Well, the only thing, I mean, if with the World Cup going to be in Qatar whenever it is, you know, at least, you know, that's not getting paid for you and by you and me. I mean, not that I know of. I mean,
well, we're not going to be paying for it. No, they've got so much money over there, mate.
Yeah,
that money's no object. You know what I mean?
But, you know, somebody's paying. There's a lot of infrastructure and whatever for your Olympic Games in the UK, and guess who's paying for that?
Yeah, this is the other thing, you see. It's the taxpayers picking up the bill. The tickets was such a fiasco. I mean, there's probably listeners out there thinking that's typical pomps, they're always whinging about everything, but it's not whinging, it's just thinking, what's going on here? You know, we had people applying for tickets, enthusiasm, like myself, applying for tickets, and got absolutely nothing. And I'm telling you, I applied from ping pong to flipping ding dong. Everything in there I applied for and I got absolutely nothing. And I was even going for the more expensive seats, you'd think, you know, not able to be going for those just for the off chance I might get it. Nothing. Got put into the second ballot. Got nothing. But some people that were put into the second ballot were told that they got tickets and then found out that they were being told that they didn't actually have tickets and it was a computer error and they would need to reapply. And then, this is what happens, this is the next bit, then they tell the people like myself that failed the first and the second time, third time, you can go forward and you can apply for some of the other like things and you will get, you know, you've got a guaranteed slot of 24 hours to apply for tickets. So I did. And I got wrestling. I got some men in tights wrestling around. That's the only ticket I could get for it. You know, because to be honest, I did want to see men running in a line and running around in a circle. So I think wrestling, right? Okay.
Yeah, that's maybe not too bad. So are you going to that then?
Yeah, so I'm going to go to that. But with the caveat to that though is that after I did that, they then send out a thing that a week later that people aren't buying enough tickets and you can actually nominate the sports that you wanted to try and get. So they had like rowing and they had all of these other different events and you can actually go on there and actually apply for those events. So everybody's just been totally herded down these various different roads of absolute rubbish and nothing's come from it apart from getting tickets for men rolling around on the floor in tights. Yeah. Honestly.
Well, you could have been ping pong or ding dong.
It could have been ping pong. Oh, really, though, and I think this is going to be the lesson that's come out of this, is that you might have this short-term game of doing up certain places like the East End or whatever, but the fact that we have to do that off the back of a sporting event to develop areas that are sort of a bit slummy or aren't great or whatever is staggering, you know. Because I think we could just probably say, do you know what, everybody out there, you're going to pay an extra £10 in your tax, and we're going to show you what we're going to do with that money. And those deprived areas, we would actually see something happening rather than having a Visa, Coca-Cola, Adidas flipping sponsored load of rubbish that we've got at the moment.
Yep. Well,
what events are you looking forward to? What is your event if you're thinking of stuff?
Diving on acid, I would watch that in a heartbeat. But I'm not really an athletics fan, you know. I'm being a bit boring here, but I'm interested in the football, which I don't even think really is an Olympic sport, but there you go. But it's on, so I'll probably watch it. There's nothing really bother. I have no interest in whatsoever in who can run 100 meters the fastest. I honestly don't.
People do though, mate. This Bolt guy with his pointing to the air kind of like thing. It's like, fuck, who gives a shit? You can run 100 meters in one of the night or whatever. Who cares? Who is that impressed? So people are so easily impressed in life, aren't they? With just the most ridiculous stuff, like a load of... It's just herd of people that find that stuff interesting. I don't understand it. I really don't. Cross country or whatever, there's a little bit of that. You know, you're going through mud, you're having to get up, whatever, through a lake or something around, or whatever they've got to do. That might work. Daley Thompson's decathlon. He's having to do 10 events. The man's a loony. That was great, and there's a great game that came out of it, and every kid ruined all their controllers by playing it. But
their keys on the keyboard,
or the keyboards or whatever. But there's nothing. I'm trying to think of what the diving. Yeah, because people get injured in it. That's interesting. Are you going to watch the tennis? The tennis is bad, even when it's on Wimbledon. We've got the World Cup for the football, so we've already had that. What is there? What is the cycling? The cycling ran a circle? Is that entertaining?
No.
You know, we knighted some guy purely because he had never, you know, Scottish people generally don't win much, so they just sort of want to give him something. But generally, that's not interesting either. So I don't know, shooting, archery, javelin, shot put?
No.
Hammer?
You know, nothing. It'll all pass me by. You know, I'll probably watch some of it fleetingly, maybe. There might be a race down to the TV at some point to see the opening ceremony, but even then, I mean, I'll be interested to see how, you know, obviously I'll be interested to see what kind of show England puts on, you know, and how well they do.
Please watch the opening, and we're going to have a piece on the opening, because some of the plans for the opening of the Olympics have been kind of...
Oh, are you getting to hear about the plans for the opening?
Yeah. Let's just say it involves farmyard animals at some point. I'll be interested
to
see.
That could be interesting, I guess.
See,
sheepdog, maybe sheepdog trials, but then you're bringing animals into
the Americans have a guy on a jetpack and an alien spacecraft coming down and an alien coming out and thanking everybody and saying, I really like the world because you're all together. And it was a kind of really... I know it was really cheesy, and Americans do cheese on cheese, but there was a good heart there, I think, that was actually saying this is a way of bringing people together. And we're going to have farmyard animals, which is another way for certain people of a certain persuasion to bring people together in a farm in Wellies late at night. I don't think that's showing off our greatest bits, is it? That we're just all farmers, are we?
Well, you're not all farmers. That's the thing. I've been reading an interesting book recently.
Can we have
about the English? But the English aren't farmers anymore. The countryside's a myth. I mean, there's no work in the countryside. Any property in the countryside is being bought up by people who've made their money in the city and are buying a country pile. You know, it's an illusion. You know, and there's an illusion of this sort of pastures green of England. I mean, it's probably what everyone wishes England was, but I mean, it's not really.
It's not, mate. They should have had about 100 rows by 10, of people behind desks looking unhappy. That would have been a better thing than pretending that we're all farmers, because we're all just corporate whores sitting behind desks. That's the majority of us, if you're banks or whatever you are. It's generally that.
Well, that could give rise to maybe some alternative sports, couldn't it? Like, you know, best throwing a piece of paper into the waste bin.
best chewing through pencil.
Fastest
best kind of...
Running to get a cup of coffee.
Running to get a cup of coffee. Talking to the idiot at the water, or the water machine. You know, in the kitchen, trying to get to the cups when some other imbecile's just been in there faffing about like they do. You know, the kind of imbecile that when you're trying to get some money out of a cash machine, they have to go for the whole, I take out my car, and I look at the card, and then what do I do? I press it in there, and then I type a number really as slowly as I possibly can, and there's this bigger queue forming now, much bigger. Do I want to do a balance check? Let me do it. And this whole process...
Yeah, you know what?
And I'm like...
That's a good point for another rant, because I went to the bank machine the other day, right? You know, for me, a bank machine is the bank machine. Get money.
Yeah.
It's a fast way to get money.
Oh, mate.
But the amount of times I'll go to the bank machine and somebody is there and they're doing everything on the bank
machine. Oh, yeah. It is.
Making a deposit, checking their balances, checking their accounts, making a withdrawal, putting it back in again, taking it out. Like... Go into the bank.
Yes!
Have somebody... Get into the bank and use a person to... And here's another one. I went to Home Depot 4 times this weekend, right? And now I've just gotten used to, you know, those self-checkouts that they have everywhere.
Yeah, oh yes.
You know, which I despise. I try to stop using them on principle, you know. But now...
Why do you not get a discount if you're using them? Therefore, you're not paying for some woman or a man to sit there and scan your stuff. Why are you not getting a discount of having to do it yourself? And why does everything... When you're putting your stuff into the bag, say, there's something mislaid in the such and such an area. What is that? Just let me put my stuff down on the side in the plastic bag. We always get these errors, and then you have some sort of bored teenager coming over, chewing gum, going, put it in the wrong area. But it's like, I'm putting it in the area on this thing. Because they've tried to be clever. They've tried to put, if you put, say, a tin of beans in your bag before it thinks you might have scanned it, they think you're trying to nick the beans. So they try and weigh what's going on
each
side.
But every time I use these things, I guarantee you, absolutely guarantee you, that 50% of the times that I use those self-checkouts, there's a problem and someone has to, and a human being has to come and help me. Absolutely guaranteed. But I went to Home Depot yesterday to go pick up something, and there was a proper checkout there. Anyway, so I go up to the checkout, and the woman is turned around. I don't know what she's doing. Did something. She's not looking at me. So I start scanning my own stuff. And she turns around and she goes, oh, you're scanning your own stuff. I said, "What? Well, you've taught me to do that. I know how to do that now because you have taught me." And she just sort of smiled and thought it was quite funny. But really what worried me is, you shouldn't find that funny. That shouldn't be funny at all, because one of those machines is coming and going to be over here in a minute. That is not funny.
Yeah, and one of those machines is going to replace you.
You should be jumping over the counter, coming to meet me 10, 20 meters before I've even got to the checkout, picking my stuff up, carrying it for me, scanning it, shining it, you know, brushing it, dusting it down, putting it into the bag, and walking that bag out to my car. Absolutely. Make your...
Mate, it is. I to go back to the pin thing, I get so frustrated when people have no comprehension that there is, or awareness that there are people waiting. We have a little lunch break that we're given while we're working in this slave trade called corporations that you can just have to go and get your money out so you can go and buy that smelly awful sandwich and go and have it at your desk because you're still always working, but there's no escape from the working. Oh no, you're always going to be working. That you hurry up and you type your PIN number in, say £30, you take your money, you stick it in your wallet and you fuck off. Don't be standing there going, putting in, £70, balance inquiry, put it in, put it balance inquiry, no, so I get another balance. And then I've had a situation, right, and this is no joke, where a woman put in 3 of her cards and she was getting a statement off each one, and it's like, and no wonder why the banks think that they don't need to put anybody behind any counter anymore, because you are using this machine not for the purpose of getting money out, you're just using it as some sort of little like robotic slave while everyone's waiting up and queuing up behind you. Just get your stuff, get out. And the worst ones are, this is going to be really sexist, the worst ones are, and I hate to say it, I'm sorry women out there, it's contentious, because they have to put everything back in order. Men just get their card, shove it in their pocket, shove the money hanging out their back pocket, it will fall out 5 minutes later, but women, got to put it back into the purse, put the card back into the purse, put the little receipt, fold it up nice and neatly, put that into the purse, put the purse then into the bag, look around, do the little thing with my chin or whatever they do, and then brush your hair around the corner of your ear, and then you walk out, and by that point I've lost the will to live.
Yeah, no, I get that. I'm pretty much one of those people. I just rush in, rush out. I've paid the price recently. I've left twice in the last 2 weeks. I've had phone calls from people. Can I help you? Yeah, are you missing anything? I don't know, am I? You sure you're not missing your wallet? Oh, yeah, I am. And I keep leaving my wallet at places. I honestly, I'm losing it. This is just what happens.
People tell you that you've left your wallet.
Yeah, well, this is Canada, you see. So they keep phoning me up, man. And they keep saying, yeah, we've got your wallet. Both times, all the money's still in there.
Wow.
All the credit cards. Yeah. It's good here, man. People are good.
We wouldn't have that here.
No.
You'd probably just have that, and everything would be ripped out, and the only thing remaining would be your little picture of your dog. Left in the bit of the wallet. That's if they don't think the wallet's worth keeping.
Although I did find it funny when I went to pick up my wallet yesterday from the, Saturday from the supermarket, after I'd used the self checkout, which is where I'd left it. And I turned up at customer service and they said, I believe you have my wallet. Oh, yes, yeah, we have your wallet. Do you have any ID, please? No. No, you've got it all. Oh, right. There's a sort of just like this Western standoff. Now, what do we do next?
Well, can they look at a picture of your driving license?
Exactly, yes, yeah. We have got pictures on our driving licenses, so she did check that. And we had a laugh, and then I moved on, grabbed my wallet, went home.
That whole thing, though, of kind of like waiting and all the rest of it, it's like with shopping, you know. I go in there, I've got no idea what I want to buy, but I'm kind of thinking I've got to buy something. And so you just put on you try the jeans on. They don't fit because your waistline's constantly expanding. You try on the bigger pair because you're in a bit of denial, and they sort of fit, and you give a little bit of a couple of inches extra just in case. And then you go out the shop. Now, normally, you know, you probably bought a 40-inch leg when you're only a 32, and the fact that these things are going to be hanging and dragging along your feet, but you don't care because you've done it really quickly. Now, you go with the missus, or you go with certain people, and they have to feel the quality. Like, Mark has to feel the quality of the material. So, what are you doing? They've got the quality. Just buy the shirt. What are you doing? Just buy the shirt. I've got to feel the quality to see what the make is, and then I've got to see what the collar, the cuff's like. No man does that.
I don't know. Is Mark listening to this podcast yet?
He doesn't listen to nothing, man.
That boy can faff.
He can faff. It's like his golf swing. He's standing there like a pregnant duck, swinging around his bat, easing up to it, adjusting, coming back, looking at it, adjusting, looking at the air temperature, looking at the wind temperature, whatever, blah, 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 adjusting, and then smacking it straight into a fucking pitch. And that was always what would happen every time. We have to go for this ordeal, this ritual. His ritual of dressing the ball. I'm going to address the ball. I'm at the ball. I'm just addressing the ball. I'm going to tap. It's like, get on with it, mate. Smack it. Smack it in the hedge.
You're going to smack it in the hedge anyway.
Yeah,
why don't
exactly.
You just get on with it?
Don't delay things. Smack it in the hedge. We're all going to be in there in the next 5 minutes anyway. That's golf.
Well, actually, when talking about buying clothes, I'm quite lucky in that I can just sort of... my wife will go and get my clothes for me now. I don't... I know.
Have you given up on life completely?
I've given up. Well, you know what? Things like I enjoy shopping for things like T-shirts, pair of jeans. I'll always go buy my own jeans and probably shoes. But anything else, it's just like sundries, like, you know, a pair of shorts for the summer or, you know, shirts for work that I need to look nice. If I need to look nice, then I'll ask my wife to get them. So,
Is it because you don't have a clue?
I haven't got a clue.
And no, I don't think you have got a clue.
And it's not getting any better.
It's a very strange situation as you get into like the 40 era because you don't know what to wear. You don't want to be wearing combats and wearing Beckham bright t-shirts and such, but there's nothing kind of middle of the road. You're kind of stuck with greys and browns when you get to our age, or I have to iron shirts. I'm finding I'm ironing shirts for work, and I'm ironing shirts to go out, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? All I'm doing is ironing shirts all the time. Can I get away with a t-shirt? No, you can't get away with a t-shirt because most of them are hideous. They're so hideous, what the designs are going on now. I mean, they're kind of fluorescent with big splashes of fluorescent stuff all across them. It was awful when they first came out in the 80s.
Yeah, that's the 80s coming around again, right?
Yeah, mate. Well, the 80s is kind of come.
It was going to happen because when we were kids, the 60s, you know, were probably people were going, I mean, I don't know about you. Yeah, I do know about you. Good God. You know, we're wearing paisley shirts and going out and whatever.
You know, I used to wear waistcoats. That's how bad it was. Because I could never get served in any pubs. I basically used to dress up like Lord Fauntleroy and go out in the vain hope that if I looked that I was some sort of office worker in a bow tie and a big, and this is no joke, I used to wear a bow tie. And I had my deceased grandfather's credit card in the vain hope that on the one day that in the William I'd actually get served in there. And I remember I finally got to the front of the queue, and this guy knew because he was always chucking me out. It was kind of like the scene in the Flintstones where he's always chucking the dinosaur out the window and the dinosaur comes running in and comes in. It was like that. It'd sort of sling me out and I'd get in through a window that Mark would let me in. And then I was there, dressed in my kind of bow tie with my shirt and this ridiculous tweed jacket. Don't ask, I was 14 at the time. And he goes, you're back in here again, what are you doing? And it's a massively packed pub. And I said, I'd like a two pints. He goes, have you got any ID? And I got out this manky old credit card, and he looked at me and just goes, get the fuck out. And I just had to, like, head bowed, get back out into the rain where I sort of spent most of my formative years waiting for some dregs from Mark.
I like that, climbing through the window. I'm sure I've climbed through the window of an odd pub here to get back in.
Do you have to? Otherwise, just going to spend the whole night roaming the streets, you know, with all the other sort of, like, computer programmers. That's what you had to do. Not computer programmers, you're all great, honestly.
Oh, yeah, let's not get you on programmers.
Yeah, let's not get me on that. So, I do like them.
Honestly. Okay, so yeah, it was a good rant on the Olympics. That's pretty much done the show for us, which we thought it probably would. You know what? I know we had some mail this week. There was a friend of ours, Sean, gave us a shout. He said he listened and enjoyed. And he's typical of someone as well, you know, who would be good to listen to this is another guy, Steve, who's a friend of ours. Once they catch on to this, those guys can rant for England. Yeah, he said, you know, enjoy the podcast, etc., etc. Give me a shout on the show. There we go, Sean. There's your shout. And some possible items, rants for discussion. A, the absurdity of middle-aged men in Lycra.
And women in denial, mate. That some women that get into Lycra and they go down the shops and it's like enormous bags of Maris Piper stuffed in the back of those mothers. Honestly, what are you thinking there? What kind of denial can you possibly be in? Sorry, we're having this for a future discussion.
I'll run through his points pretty quickly.
Okay.
The absurdity of middle-aged men in Lycra. I wonder, actually, because I know I did see some pictures of Sean in his cycling outfit, so I'm not really too sure. Maybe he's trying to admit something there. Okay, and then B, really fat, yes. but not disabled people blocking up sidewalks and malls with their state-funded mobility scooters.
Wow. Is that quite a big problem in Canada?
Well, he's in England.
Ah,
so
oh, right.
I just wonder whether you've got this sort of problem over there with, you know, the increased waistline of the general population.
No, ours kind of just still wobble along like a weeble, really. We don't really see. We see a rare. You do see it, but it's a rare occasion where these sort of like night breeds, the big monsters, come out in their little trucks. Hoover around late at night, and the reason why these poor souls are doing it is because obviously if they go out during the day, then they're just totally, that's it, they get the glare.
Yeah.
You know, unlike America, there is still some social embarrassment for being 7 tons.
Yeah, see, America is a different game altogether. We stopped, you know, we drove up through the States a few months ago, and you know, I love the States, I love it, I think it's a fantastic country, it's just fascinating. But we stopped and we found a restaurant. What was it called? It was called Golden Corral or something like that. And it was an all-you-can-eat place, you know, and it was fantastic. We were hungry, lots of different things to choose from, good stuff for the kids, good stuff for us. The food was good, right? And it's not expensive. And by, you know, those two things put together, I mean, some of the people in there, it was just frightening. Just frightening. You know, the size of some of the people in
there.
They
carry the trays on their stomachs. That's
like, honestly, I was protecting my children, making sure that they sat between Grace and I, just in case, because, you know, one of them suddenly...
They
so one of them suddenly goes missing. You know, there's a child's leg sticking out of a guy's mouth.
Mate, yeah, if they're eating those spider crab claws and they literally load them up, a child's arm could easily get lost in those jobs. Seriously, and the thing that frightens me most about those is the fact that they carry the trays on their stomachs. They sit down with their stomachs kind of pressed against the edges of the table, and you look over and their kids are clones of them as well. It's literally this breeding fatness that just goes around. And now we're getting...
It was fascinating. It was fascinating, but it was even more fascinating because we were sat next to a guy who's got a gun, just sitting there chomping away on his dinner, alone with his gun. I mean, I didn't know.
Mate. Well, I mean, that is probably and to the, anybody listening in the US, the horrible incident that obviously happened at the Batman movie. Our hearts will go out to you guys. That's absolutely horrendous.
Well, it is. Yeah.
So just amongst the comedy and everything else, it's just been quite a shocking story, and the fact that this guy sort of premeditated that he was dressed as the red hair like the Joker, and his house was all booby trapped. Staggering. The guy had a PhD apparently, or studying for a PhD.
I know. It sounds like he was a student who'd just gone off the rails. I think his grades had started to slip or something, they said, and he was just slowly losing it. But I mean, it's just bizarre, and these incidents are just way too frequent. And we're having a problem here. I mean, Canada is nice. It's a safe, relatively safe country. But in Toronto, I mean, we're not going a week right now without shootings going on. We had one of the people who died in where was it? Denver or Austin or somewhere like that. One of the people who died in that shooting had just missed a shooting in Toronto that we had, where, you know, the problem we have here, I think, is more gangs than anything else. But a lot of the gangs migrated up to the cities up here. And so you have these sort of gang shootings. Then there were a load of kids who were having a party last week. Monday night, they're having a party downtown, and somebody opened fire, shot, you know, two people dead, a load of other people shot. You know, it's just...
The National Rifle Association out in the States is obviously a major lobbying body, and I think that if you want to carry guns, then that's fine. But this guy was able to order 6,000 rounds of ammunition through the internet, and the fact that he was able to order—I mean, there's protecting your house, and then there's basically invading Cuba. And I think with
you're right. I read that yesterday. He was buying semi-autos. First of all, I don't even know how you can buy a semi-automatic rifle. You know, what are you possibly protecting yourself that you need a machine gun that people use to invade countries?
Yeah. You know,
a revolver, okay, I get it. You know, maybe even a Magnum like Dirty Harry, I get it. You know, 6 shots in the chamber, or is it 5? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. So, you know, I get that. Semi-automatic rifles, no. Go to YouTube, watch videos of people with bazookas in the Las Vegas desert. It just doesn't add up.
It's a very frightening state of affairs, and I think the fact that if America's going to constantly use their constitution as a means of justifying everything, a little bit like the Bible has a tendency to do, that you have to probably appreciate and understand that when that was written, you thought us English were going to come over and invade you in the States. That's what you had guns to carry, because that was why it's written in there. That was a very long, long time ago. The fact that it now seems to be still acceptable, and I've been to the States, you could buy shotguns in the sporting goods department. Racks of shotguns. It's the most frightening thing to kind
of
like
see.
Yeah,
but you know what? I don't have a problem really with that. You know,
Mate, they weren't even locked up. They were just there.
Yeah, but it's controlling it. You know what? If I want to go and buy a shotgun to go shooting, I got no problems with people hunting either. Right?
No, I don't. No.
You know, and if you want to buy a shotgun to go hunting, fine. Where's your ID? Where's your license for it? You know, hang on a second. This is the 8th shotgun you've bought this month. You know, who's watching that? And like you say, 3,000 rounds of ammunition from eBay?
Ugh. I can't even believe that eBay even is even allowed. Before we get ourselves sued.
Well, I don't know the, I don't know the full story of that or how that was, whether that was allowed or how it was done. I'm pretty sure it said it was eBay. If it wasn't eBay, then I apologize. You know, but it was, like you said, I read that it was 3,000 or more rounds.
It was 6,000 rounds across the internet that he was able to buy, and I don't know where
it's bizarre. It's just bizarre. So,
but anyway, that's a morbid topic, but it's an important one, and I think that we could have a comedy rant about it, but it's probably obviously not appropriate.
Well, you know,
and,
it doesn't have to be a comedy rant, you know, generally.
Well, it can be an impassioned plea rant. Yeah. I think that something has to massively change. There needs to be a reduction in the amount of guns that are on the street. There needs, as you said, to have tighter, much tighter licensing of who can get guns. We have a whole sort of body around being allowed to have a gun, and that's not even looking at semi-automatics or automatic or anything like that. It's just to have a shotgun, you have loads of licensing, and we do not have the problem that you have, you know, that the states has. It has to change. And
no, but we don't have that. But you know, if somebody here, I'm sure, you know, in England,
can you get a gun?
Could I get a gun? No, not without. First of all, no, I would have no idea. But second of all, maybe. You know, if I'm sure if you really wanted to find a gun, you could find a gun somewhere. Now, I'm not saying it's through correct channels, right? But it wouldn't be easy. And the problem is, it's too easy, I think, down in the States, from what I gather. You know,
it is, mate. You can order them through, like, you get, you know how you get the magazines that are telling you, like, the bargains that you have for packs of chicken and burger, whatever it is. They actually have, like, the discounts on the guns. And then what you can get, you know, like buy one get one free kind of like deals. It's enormous. I think we'll move on to a different topic, but it is a very important one. But as we said, the transatlantic rants, just want to say our heartfelt sort of like feelings go out to the US for that terrible, horrible tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was from mobility scooters. That one came from. That's not bad, eh?
Well, how do we get to that link?
Yeah, I know. It's a law unto itself. So just to finish off quickly, Sean also had C, police closing entire motorways unnecessarily just because someone breaks down.
Can we just have a quick chat about that? Can we have a quick chat about that? We did touch upon that the other week, I think, about old people or young people or whoever in one lane, and the police shutting down every other lane. It's like, it needs to get to a point where we're making intelligent decisions, okay, police force. So when you're not busy out there, basically getting bribed by the news of the world to tell them certain information, or leaving cars to die in cars, and other horrific stuff you do, but also the other great jobs that you do, allegedly. They did actually leave two Alsatians in a car last year to die. This was the dog handler. But anyway, I could rant about the police. A lot of you do a great job, let's be honest, but some of you are just scum. Some of you have just chosen to go into that job because you want a little bit of power, didn't you? And it's normally you that get out onto those roads and close every single lane down when literally you have thousands of cars stuck behind because one car is clocked out on the fast lane. Shut it off, stick your car there, put some little like cones around it, and let everybody go around it instead of like closing everything off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And why do cat owners think it's okay to let their pets out to crap all over other people's property?
Well, this is an interesting point because my neighbours do that on a regular basis, and when I'm trying to weed stuff, I'll often come across the cat poo. And this whole myth that the cats bury their shit, they don't. They basically go out, they get a copy of the Sun or whatever newspaper they're reading, they sit in your fucking garden and they shit everywhere, okay? And you get all of this kind of like bullshit from cat owners about dog owners and letting their dogs foul everywhere and all that stuff. It's nice. It's you cat owners. We take our little plastic bags and pick up our dog poo and dispose of it. You just let them free reign to go out and poo everywhere. Free range cats. And the other problem that they've got with mogs at the moment is they are decimating the bird population. They're finding that because there's such an enormous increase in domestic mogs, that these things are having a severe impact on our wildlife. They are literally catching and munching their way through. Well, they don't do that. This is the other thing about cats. Cats are evil, okay? Now, the Egyptians worshipped them. I don't know why, because these things basically work out whether you're going to be a good owner or a bad one, and if you're not, they'll fuck off. That's it. If they can get a nice plate of food from Mrs. Miggins, the little retired granny down the road, that's it, they're gone. Whereas your dog, you can shout at him, you can tell him off, you can drag him down the road and he's done such, and he will still be there looking at you like you're the greatest thing in the world.
I had a problem with the cat when we first moved in here. There was a cat who was presenting me with his offerings, basically his turd in my front garden every day.
Oh, he was offering you his nuts.
No. He was coming out at night using our front flower bed as his private washroom. Chili flakes. The hottest. I went to an Indian shop and bought the hottest chili powder I could find and just spread it all over the place. And he's not been seen since.
You can't.
No, I had a little bit of guilt and I thought, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. What if he gets it, you know, scratches himself, gets it in his eyes? And I'm just like, no.
No, I think that even so.
But get off thing, my garden.
Yeah, he'll learn not to. And if he's still got his bits intact and he just was crouching over for a nice drop-in of 3 days' worth of build-up, and he just a couple of those chili flakes got on those knuckers, that's it, man. He'll be trying to put them in water, they'll be getting worse. Anyway, you want little cans of deep heat round your flower pots, don't you?
That was the
spraying. You know how you get these new air fresheners that you can walk past and they detect you and they spray like some fragrance? Get one with deep heat in it and have that in your flower pots. And when he comes in, they're just ready for his squat, rustles his paper to let one go. A nice little jet spray of deep heat on those gem jamblers.
So, yeah, so that was from Sean. Thank you very much, Sean.
Dear Sean.
Yeah. You know what? We're not too far off our hour mark, so I'm not going to dive in. I had a story on the Canadian government's absolute ineptitude in buying some helicopters. You know what? I'll save that. I'm going to come back to that another day. I also had a quick note here. People who think they are gods because they are the customers, I think that has an immense amount of rant potential. I just say one of the worst things Americans ever did was convincing the world that the customer is always right. The customer is not always right, and we can go into that in further detail. Probably that warrants an episode in itself.
Oh, that does. That's a good meaty one. I like that.
That is a good one, eh?
Yeah.
That one's got some legs.
I like the cut of his cloth, that.
Yeah, well, and you know, but this was born out of some frustration I had today. I'm trying to sell a bunk bed and a mattress set. You know, bunk bed with shelves, chair, mattress. I've been trying to get rid of this thing for ages. I probably had it on for far too expensive, and I finally have dropped my price, and people are starting to phone up, you know. And I had the lady, she keeps emailing me, you know, oh, I'm interested in the bunk bed. Okay, fine. Email comes back again. What color is it? It's gray, like in the picture. How big is it? How tall is it? Will it fit in my house? I don't know where you live. You know, all these sorts of questions until she says, finally comes back to you. Would you take 75 for it? So I wrote back and I said, you know what? Done. I got to get rid of this. I'll take 75 for it, but there's a couple of things. First of all, phone me. Here's my phone number. I can't keep doing this email back and forth. You know, I don't check my email frequent enough. Phone me and let's get it arranged. 75, yes, I'll do 75, but you have to take the mattress as well. It's a set. Next thing I know, email. Can't pick it up till next Friday and I don't want the mattress. What am I... What? I'm just speechless. Just, did you not read my email at all?
She doesn't want the mattress because your kids have probably spent their formative years peeing on it. I wouldn't want your mattress.
Good.
Why would you want
the
mattress?
Good. Then don't come and get the mattress. I've laid it out in an email. I've told you. You can have it for 75, but you got to take the mattress as well. And I'll tell you why. Because when you don't take the mattress, I have got to there spend $10 going up to the local dump to get rid of the mattress. So what I'm doing for you is I'm dropping my price. You take the mattress. You do what you want with it. You don't want to take the mattress? Fine, it's $100.
The problem with all of that, though, is
but you know what? It's not the fact that, you know, I understand why she might not want the mattress. And there's nothing wrong with the mattress, right? But simple, clear instructions. Phone me, and this is the deal.
But I'll be honest though, mate. I don't like when we're buying anything off eBay or whatever. I don't want to speak to the people because they normally might be weird. You know, you can use your email as the barrier so that when it finally comes down to actually coming to meet you and realising that you're some hick with an axe who's going to murder her, that you know she didn't actually have to speak to you and find out in the first place. I mean, I think you should just burn the mattress in your backyard and do what other people do. Or do what one guy did, and he just basically took all of his rubbish down a couple of blocks and just dumped on someone's drive who he didn't know.
I could do that. I'm getting very tempted. I'm getting to that stage now where it's like, you know what? Screw you. I'm taking the whole bunk bed and the whole mattress down to the dump, and I'm dumping it. And you know why I'm doing it? Because you can't have it. That's why.
Get the next stuff that you send it to her.
Yeah, say, no, you know what?
I'm burning it unless you come and get it and take the mattress.
No, I'm going to take it to the dump and I'm going to take pictures of me throwing it in the dump, throwing the mattress on top of it with two fingers up at the picture and just say, you could have had this for 75, but you ain't having nothing now. I'm going to get my money's worth out of this.
Dude.
I only have to break $50 on it to break even, not counting the amount of hours I've spent trying to get rid of it.
I want some pictures of that.
I will lose the $50 to make myself feel better by sending her a picture of me throwing it away.
I'm going to. It's like when your missus and you just ordered your nice meal and you've already said to her, I'm going to eat all of this. And she says, it's fine. And then the meal comes and then she tries to have a little bit and you go, no. I said to you, did you want to get the chips and the steak? And you said you didn't. You wanted to go for the horrible salad. So I've got that. And then when they try and grab it, you just shove it as much as you possibly can in your mouth when they're trying to like get bits. You're shoving them away, and you just literally until you've got the worst indigestion of the world. And that's what you should do. You should say, you had your opportunity and you missed it.
My wife will laugh when she hears that one because she does that as well. We'll order dishes, and she's always, can I try some of yours? I'm like, you've ordered your dish. This is my dish. That is your dish. Why do you always need to try my dish? Would you
get
like
off
to try
my
some
dish.
Of mine? No. If I wanted to try some of yours, I would have ordered yours.
They go for this ridiculous process of eating some guilt, some food that they don't have any guilt of eating. Whereas we don't care because we know that we're always the first to go. So we bung it all down and we ordered like, yeah, we'll have the steak, we'll have the chips, blah, blah. She's giving that little look. You don't really want to have the extra like portion of the thing. And you go, no, I do. Why do you keep saying what I can have and can't have? Just let me have a little extra. Okay. Yeah. So you have your lovely plate, and then she just starts trying to pick a bit. Like,
yeah, this is the sort of rants we need to be very careful on. These could end in divorce.
Well, mate, they need to know. Mine doesn't listen to it anymore.
She just switches off.
She does. I was trying to play it to her the other night, and I was listening to it, and she kind of just sits there, and she goes, right. And she laughs at the start, because normally our start's quite vibrant, although I think we're ending quite strongly at the moment, so we'll have to finish very soon. She sort of has a little chuckle and then she switches off.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, as long as she has a little chuckle.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put on the website. If you can send me the picture of your mattress and the bed, and we'll put it on the site, and I'll also put on there for like the whole sort of like, you know, for how everything's sort of like set out, a little graph, and I'll play this to my missus, and I'll put at certain times where she's finding stuff funny. And when she's not. And then we can chart it of where we drop. And I bet other people see little peaks. A little peak at the Olympics. Oh, yeah, little drop and such and such. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Although that's assuming that your wife is a target audience. I suppose anybody should be a target audience, but...
I'm also going to send you a picture, mate, because this has just happened. My dog is humping his fist as I speak. He's in his butt. Oh, crikey. Mate.
Oh.
So don't play this.
That bombshell.
Okay.
All right. Well, just to let you know as well, I did watch... I know we talked last week we were going to watch Spider-Man the movie. We didn't do that. I couldn't get out. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you why I couldn't get out to do that. Because I got your botulism on a bike.
Oh,
about
man.
Wednesday. I don't know what happened. Wednesday night, I went to bed. Thursday in the middle of the night, that was it. I was up. Friday, I was... No, Thursday, I was ropey. Friday, I went back to... Friday, I went to work. Friday, I didn't feel too bad. Saturday, I didn't feel too bad. And then yesterday, it just came back with a vengeance. Oh, it's brutal, man. And I'll tell you what, the other thing that got me as well Like, I don't get ill that, you know, I get ill a lot more now that I have kids, but generally, you know, I get ill and I just go off to work and just, you know, generally just get on with it. My wife will probably say that's different and then I'm dying every time I get ill. But I just thought, okay, you know what? Thursday night, I am not well. I just need to go home, relax. Yeah, I just like a little bit of sympathy. Maybe if I could just sort of section off, you could bring me a nice cup of tea or whatever. And then, no, my daughter goes out and ends up in hospital with a fractured leg. And
how did that happen?
Yeah, she fell off a trampoline, apparently.
Why do parents give kids trampoline? Honestly. Can we have a rant about that next week?
It's supposed to be a safe trampoline. I mean, the trampoline that's sort of surrounded by...
Mate, they are never safe.
I don't know whether some kid jumped on her. So I don't have no idea. I wasn't there, luckily. She's okay. She's just in a temporary cast before they just do another x-ray, you know, in a couple of days. But she stole my thunder. You know, she gets 15 visitors all coming round, signing her cast, bringing her cookies.
You're just there on the toilet.
I was holding on for dear life. It was brutal, man. I felt like I'd been through 10 rounds with Mike Tyson.
Funnily enough, I was reading it. I've been reading Jonathan Ross's book, and he was saying that he got terrible, terrible runs in Mexico, and he was doing a whole kind of like tour of South America. So his doctor had given him like needles and a special patch that if he cut his leg open, it's something they give the SAS guys. You bung it on it, sort of seals the wound. And the doctor had recommended Rohypnol for him if he got a very severe stomach pain. So he said that he took like 3 pills because he had it so bad he felt like he was trying to basically drop his lungs out of his arse. And he said that he just remembers sitting on the toilet and the only thing that brought him to was keeling over and cracking his head on the floor because this stuff just was knocking him out.
That's what it's supposed to do, isn't it?
So I didn't know Rohypnol was for chronic diarrhea. But anyway, there we go.
No, I could have done with some of that yesterday.
Oh, mate. It's terrible.
Oh, it's brutal. But apart from that, you know, well, I live.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see Spider-Man. I did watch Chronicle, which you talked about last week, and that was... Did you watch it?
I watched 2/3 of it, and then I just thought...
You missed the end bit. You should have watched the end bit because there was a really good bit at the end where one of the guys picks up a giant spike and shoves it through his best friend. And I don't know why, but that really just resonated with me. I like that scene.
I always like the scene in The Talented Mr. Ripley where Jude Law gets repeated. And I kept rewinding it when he gets smacked around the head with an orb by Matt Damon. And I rewound that scene 3 or 4 times to relish. Jude Law, if you're out there, your name's actually Dave Law, but you thought you'd call yourself Jude because you thought you wanted a little bit of mysticism, mate, didn't you?
Yeah.
We'll have a rant about Jude at some point.
Yeah, I know you can rant about Jude.
Yeah.
So I watched Chronicle. Yeah. You know what? Like you said, you know, go watch it. It's rubbish. I would say don't go watch it. It is rubbish. The shaky cam thing all the way through, just pointless. Just absolutely pointless. No need for it. And it just made it difficult to watch.
It doesn't add any realism to it. If they think that that's adding some sort of realistic kind of, you know...
Well, how much realism do you need in a story that kids discover something in the ground and it gives them superpowers?
Well, yeah, exactly. You might as well just
There wasn't any. But I did watch another film last night. I watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
That was good, that.
It was good.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed that.
We can have a review next week of that, because I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
And I've got to wrap up now, because these people are getting far too much money for their buck as it is.
Yeah,
All 1p of it.
Okay, so that's it. I just would like to say just a big thank you to a couple of guys. There's another podcast out there called The Console Ninjas. If you're as nerdy as I am, sad with no life and just like games, then you should go and check out their podcast. It's on iTunes called The Console Ninjas. I just wanted to say thanks to Jason and Willie who do that podcast, because they gave me some help and advice on setting up this one. So appreciate that help, guys, if you're listening. Okay, so I think that just about wraps it up. If you can want to send us an email, as you can see, Sean sent us an email, and we do read them out. We'll read them out. It's jeremy@transatlanticrants.com or fraser@transatlanticrants.com. Send us an email. We'll read it.
If you can't find that, or if you're kind of wondering how that's all spelt and everything else, you can go onto our website as well.
Yeah.
And just put in transatlantic and then space rants or whatever, and it will find us in Google.
Yep, transatlantic rants in Google. Not a lot else comes up. Except
it's
for
a
us
rubbish
now,
which... website. I apologise. There's not much on there, but you know, there's a good legal rant. I've expanded it.
The legal rant is good. It made me laugh.
I've expanded that. Have you reread it?
No. I'll go and have a read of that.
I'm also going to
have a stab at doing some work on that website with you.
Yes.
Try and lighten the load there. Okay, so we're not going to be around next week unless there's a miracle, and we do try and get these out weekly if we can. But you know, don't think that we're offline. We're just Jeremy's on holiday next week, and have a nice holiday, Jeremy.
Thanks.
I'm sure you will. Wherever you end up, we'll want to hear all about it. And that's it. So a couple of weeks. We'll see you later.
Cheers, guys.
All right.
Keep listening.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Transatlanticrants.com.